This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
That it is, and we are talking about Lori and Chad Daybell today. With Phil Waters, he's a retired detective and current president CEO of Kindred Spirits Investigations and Security, Inc. Had Phil on the other day with Susan Cunantine, and it was super fascinating. So I'm very happy to have you back on, Phil. We were diving deep into Lori the other day, but today I want to get into Chad a little bit. I really wanted to talk the other day about it, but let's pick it up kind of where we left off. This is an interesting individual who, you know, has a very bizarre, I guess, past in terms of belief system and his writings and this kind of the way that that he's conducted himself, and then eventually meeting Lori Vallow. Let's go back to the beginning when he was just kind of the author. What are your thoughts and takes on how we got this version of Chad Daybell that we have today?
I guess the bottom line is, for a lot of this stuff, is that he is out of this is all coming out of the Mormon religion area, right?
Yeah.
So he's not I wouldn't say in terms of his background and where his leanings ended up going. I mean, he ended up being an apostle of some kind, or kind of started his own little cult within a cult kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's what drew Lori to him. And he's written some books. So the guy is, his particular, philosophy or mindset or whatever, it kind of manifested itself into what it is today, right? So he kind of becomes becomes his own cult leader in this people that he has surrounded himself with. She happens to be one. And I guess they came to some sort of an equal view about things beyond and current regarding this religious philosophy they found themselves in. And it would appear that he kind of looked to be, I guess, early on, maybe some kind of a mentor of some kind for her, and then got attached to him in a romantic way. And then, kind of, as they say, the rest is history. But it's hard to tell, at least just from the outside looking in, who was influencing who. Now, obviously, Vallow would have more incentive to try to get him to see her way about these kids, these children, because she's obviously wanting to divest herself of everything to concentrate what appears to be on him. So this business about the children being zombies and you know, this craziness that she brought to this thing. What's interesting is that whatever effect she had on him, he bought into it to the degree that he was complicit in at least disposing of the children's bodies. What we don't know, I guess, is was he involved in the actual killings?
And what I wonder about with this case is a lot of the doctrine, if you will, that was practiced or believed seemed to come directly from Chad and his writings and his belief that he's a prophet. And so the term zombie and such, I don't think we've necessarily defined where that came from. One could guess that if he's the one that's getting these messages from God, as he would claim, or other entities, I don't know what, it would originate from him. Is this something, I mean, I'm just trying to understand, and I wonder if you've had any way to wrap your mind around how they convinced themselves that the kids should go away, that the kids should die.
Right. Well, I don't know that she got this stuff from him necessarily. Nope. I think that she was already down that road, and he affirmed for her what she was already headed toward. Does that make sense?
Sure.
It's hard for me to, I mean, it's possible, certainly. Mm-hmm. And she's the only one that would be able to answer that is, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg, you know, kind yeah. of thing. But however it developed, and whoever was the stronger influence on each other, getting caught up in the, that's why I think that things that he said affirmed things that Valo already believed.
Okay.
And then she just took it to another level and he went along with her for the ride.
And that's what I wonder about. We've yet to find this out either way. But what I've been saying to people, I've been asking like psychologists and such is this a guy who, you know, he had his goofy beliefs that were fairly out there, but he seemed to relish in being an author. He seemed to relish in the few people who did seem to think that he made sense or that he was some sort of prophet type figure. And then he gets this introduction and he meets this woman, Lori Valo, that seems to be crazily into his way of thinking, and she's attractive, and he probably thought he's more attractive than my wife. And I wonder how deep he got into this of the simplicity of the man being the man going for the pretty girl and saying and doing almost anything to keep her nearby until it just really went off the deep end. And it makes me wonder then, you know, did he believe everything that he was saying, or is he just kind of, I know how to play this part and she seems to really like it. And then it went way too far. Or was he believing the same shit as she did?
Right. Yeah. I'm not a psychologist, but I know people.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I've interviewed probably at this point, probably thousands of people. And it is always interesting to me. There is a psychology that I apply in the interview room. So that's the perspective from which I'm examining this today. When we talk about these types of people, because I've seen these types of people in the interview room, and there has to be there's a certain way to approach them to get them to talk, to trust you, to talk and so forth and so on, and to get past any barriers. Now, this guy was Chad is not an uneducated person. I mean, he had a degree in journalism from Brigham Young. Mm-hmm. So the guy's he's not a stupid person in term of intellect.
Yeah.
And then he worked in a cemetery. He was a grave digger in a cemetery.
Yeah.
He had other jobs. So he's had some kind of an interesting background, I guess. And these books that he was publishing were books the publisher was him.
Yeah.
So he had this Spring Creek Book Company, and it was a self-published, and it was his books were about, and they were fiction. Mm-hmm. They were fiction, end times books, and so forth and so on. But there, and then he had these other religious books where he's kind of proffering his particular religious perspective. Mm-hmm. And what we have to keep in mind about religion in a general sense is that religion is man's attempt to communicate with God. Mm-hmm. So it's something that, and that's why we have so many different religions, right?
Sure.
Islam and Mormonism and Protestantism, Catholicism. So we have so many different religions and so many different denominations within those religions. So this guy was kind of setting up his own religion,
yeah,
for lack of a better term, and look, I mean, look at the past at people that have maybe not in a organized religious way have set up these types of things, but you've got look at Charlie Manson.
Sure. I mean,
that was a religion to those people called the family that followed him because he was charismatic, he was saying some things, so forth and so on. So you can go to any of these. The what comes to mind is, the group with the Hale-Bopp comet.
Oh yeah, Heaven's Gate. Yep.
Heaven's Gate. You know, they ended up in a camp house or something. They're all laying in beds in goofy uniforms and yeah, Nike tennis shoes or something.
Yep.
Such a thing, and had taken, I guess, some sort of poison and all killed themselves. Mm-hmm. But so these groups are around, even this, I can't remember his name, the guy that was the Latter-day Saints guy that had his own cult, and he was
Jeffrey.
Fathering children with 14-year-olds. And
I believe it was Jeffries.
Jeffries. And so this guy is, Daybell is kind of in that category of people where he's taking religion and religious philosophies, and he's writing these books, and he's proffering this particular type of a religious viewpoint. And look, I mean, guys like him, the Maharishi, I mean, there's a whole, they're all over the place.
Sure. It's scary because it makes you wonder, and I think a lot of us are wondering as this trial begins to get underway, is Lori going to come out of this? Is there going to be some statement made where she's expressing that she's not under these beliefs anymore? But I don't know that we're going to see that. You had mentioned Heaven's Gate. They still exist. The ones who aren't dead still exist. And they're still waiting for this event to happen. So if it wasn't proven to them, first round of everybody drinking the Kool-Aid and dying, I think to some, there must be a point where you go so far and there is no coming back. And you will stick with it until your own death or what you prophesy about actually comes true, which obviously that won't happen. But I don't know what that is, but I believe in some people, you're in. And there's really not much of a way out for however the brain functions. But I almost would put Lori into that category. But I don't know that I put Chad into that category. Chad peddles it.
No, I would put Chad there.
Yeah.
He's now he may have changed his perspective a little bit now that he's charged with, in the death of these two children. But then his wife dies.
Yeah.
There was no autopsy performed on her at the time. And so the body was exhumed 2 months later. Then it was autopsied, and those results have not, at least by February, I don't think they've ever been released. But so all of these things are being handled now within the prosecution, and we're going to see a lot of things that are going to be revealed, of course, in his trial. Now he took the road. The only reason. Lori's trial is coming so quickly is because she did not waive her speedy trial rights.
Correct.
So, and Daybell has.
Mm-hmm.
So they've reset whatever they're going to do with him. But there was a, back in 2015 or so, Chad had claimed he heard a voice telling him to go to Rexburg, Idaho.
Yes.
So, I don't think he has, if he moves away from what he has based what appears to be his entire adult life on, then that is just somebody who has come to the realization that all this crap that I've been writing about and spewing has all been bullcrap. And I let this woman, because of whatever carnal connection they had, to rope me into doing something that is just crazy.
Makes you wonder if that will be the defense.
Well, there's a difference between being crazy and being insane.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there is a insanity defense where this is going to be tried. I don't know that. And there is in Texas, there is an insanity defense in Texas. I can tell you that that's a real high bar to get over.
And it doesn't technically exist in Idaho. There are, if you were to look at the language and kind of decipher it one way, shape, or form, it's kind of hints that there maybe could be, but the bar to reach it is probably even higher than Texas. And to the point where it's just said it doesn't exist. It doesn't. There's really no way to make it work.
Right. So it's a very, I would almost think that this is just pure speculation on my part, but Lori Vallow's got quite a history.
Sure.
Married, I think, wasn't Chad her fifth husband?
Yes.
I think in this deal. And then you got Charles Vallow was the one that was murdered by her brother.
Alex. Yep. And Alex is dead
her
too.
Her brother dies from natural causes at some point. Mm-hmm. And then Tammy Daybell dies.
Yeah.
And this is after some guy in a mask with what she thought was a paintball marker or some such thing, you know, shot at her and so forth and so on.
Yeah.
So a lot of dead bodies around him, then plus the two children. So a lot of dead bodies around him. And I think what, if I were her, my defense would be that when she got with Daybell, that he had some effect on her, which caused whatever her particular beliefs and so forth were later on to manifest themselves because of what he influenced her to believe.
Be interesting if it turns into a he said, she said on this.
Because the
argument could work either way. It's like one of them needs to pick that road and pick it quick, because that's going to be the one that gets the lesser of the sentencing.
So she's done that. She's the one that's going to get to say that first.
Unless it's, you're right. She could, but I would not be surprised if Chad flipped and came into court and tried to say the exact
opposite.
He's
going to trial. And exactly. He's sitting back.
But if he were to flip early in terms of for some sort of a lesser sentence, I could see him testifying against her in court, which I think would also be very interesting to watch to see if she is still so invested into this belief system, how she would mentally be able to handle that if it were to take place.
Well, that may be in the works. And I would imagine what we're going to see. Of the two of them, I see Vallow is very, if you just stand back and look at her history, the woman is, she's not stupid. She's clever. She's conniving. She's, you know, her persona is, I've watched the videos, especially when they ran up with them, in Hawaii.
Yep.
And they kept going back to Hawaii and to Kauai, and she's just very nonplussed. I mean, she's just very, even the scene where her husband was murdered, where Vallow was murdered.
Completely. She's just very, disconnected from reality in every way, shape, and form. And
just very unaffected by anything, it appears.
Does not seem to feel emotion, no matter how large or small the event in front of her seems to be. I'm just curious if she's still going to be like that in this trial.
So she's going to be hard to read because nothing changes.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Thank you so much, Phil Waters, for your insight into Chad and Lori Daybell. Of course, that coverage, we got it for you right here, and it's continuing all throughout the trial. We have correspondent Lauren Mathias on the ground at the courthouse giving us day-by-day reporting, and we'll have audio from the court as soon as it's delivered and available to post for you here. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts for some of the most thorough coverage in the trial of Lori Daybell. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.